I got my body and my mind on the same page, and honey, now happiness is all the rage. I got my body and my mind on the same page, and honey, now happiness is all the rage.
Welcome to the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by the No Halftime app. Use promo code BBALL100, that's BBALL100, to get up to a $100 deposit bonus to use in the app. If you can find the No Halftime app on the Apple Store and Amazon.com. And with that, we are off. TJIF. Wow, I can't believe I said that. That is such a loser statement to say. But welcome to the Friday edition show. I am your host, Daniel Green. You can find me on Twitter at Daniel A. Green 1, and tonight I am joined by the one and only Kyle McEwen. What's up, man?
Yo, what up? Nice to talk to you again, Danny.
You too, man. Where can they find you on Twitter, dude?
You can find me on at RotoKyleNBA on the Twitter.
Fantastic. So hopefully you guys had a good Thursday night of NBA DFS action. We're taping this on Thursday night. It's about 11:37 p.m., so still a couple games going. Looks like right now, who did well in DFS tonight? One guy did not know. I had a lot of Al Horford. He got in foul trouble against Taj Gibson, so I got in some Twitter beef over that. That was annoying.
Yeah, Paul Millsap had a pretty good night.
Millsap played well.
Yep, 28 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. The assists from Millsap this season, including the preseason, have been pretty awesome. He also had 3 three-pointers and a block. 45.4 FanDuel points.
Dope. And you know who else looked good was his running mate and at center and Dwight Howard.
Yep, put up 11 points, 19 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 3 blocks in just 30 minutes, 41.8 FanDuel points. Dwight Howard definitely working the boards, and he didn't seem to care too much that he didn't get a lot of shots. Went even 3 of 4 from the free throw line. So nice performance there in his Hawks debut for regular season.
The best thing about him is he looked like legitimately healthy. The back didn't seem to be an issue. So, you know, he could have a nice start. And if he ever, you know, obviously the defensive stats are going to be there. If he ever can just score some points, he could be a nice play. And as long as his salary stays, you know, I think today everything was 7.5K for the game tonight. As long as his salary is under 8K, he's going to be a pretty solid play.
Yeah, I think the things that kind of make you go like, what the heck is that? Is Tabo Sefolosha put up 13 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 steals off the bench, played just 22 minutes, but put up 37.9 FanDuel points. So yeah. Cheap guy there. He was the minimum salary at 3,500. So Tabo was if you put Tabo in your lineup, well, why? But congrats.
I had him in 24 lineups. I had him in one.
Oh, wow. Good job. Yeah. Was it a good lineup though? Do you know?
To be determined. I'm going to make some money out of it. We'll see how good. I don't think I'm going to win huge money, but I'll win something out of it.
Yeah. As usual, we are recording this, the night before during the night's games. We still got 2 games going on right now. The, Clipper Portland game and the, San Antonio Sacramento game. It's, just about halftime for that San Antonio Sacramento game. So if you are listening to this to learn about all the Friday games, you dig. Oh, well, can you get us into the over-unders and talk about the spreads and all that?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So for Friday, tomorrow or so to Friday night, it's the perfect NBA DFS slate. You have 8 games. I love about, you know, anywhere between 6 to 8 games. You know, it's enough games where you have the ability to differentiate your lineups between anyone else. And also you still are able to, you know, analyze each game. So I love 8 game slates. Take advantage of it. Normally, you know, on Friday nights, you're going to have, I'd say, 10 to 12 games. So this 8 game slate is really nice. And to make it even better, we have some really nice games, some really nice over-unders. The best game of the night is I think we're going to be saying this all throughout the season. It's Houston at Dallas. The over under here is 221.5. I mean, I'll be shocked if a Houston over under is below 220. And if you bet the over unders and, you know, and do that kind of thing, bet the over. If you watch Houston play the Lakers in that first game, it's just, man, what D'Antoni wants them to do is just crazy. So this game I love. I mean, we'll talk about each position, and we'll go dive into kind of players that we should target from this game, but it's just there's so many players you can target here.
That first Houston game, there's 234 points scored, so a bit over of the current projection.
They basically, if you're watching like one of these games, you'll basically hit the over under in the first half. I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, and the key that you want to do is, so whoever's playing Houston, I mean, you'll be able to target guys that you normally would never play. I mean, like Julius Randle, I do not envision playing him a lot going forward, but he dominated. And basically, if you didn't have Julius Randle in your lineup a couple nights ago, it was impossible to take down a GPP, a big tournament. So,
well, he had a good defensive matchup too, as far as being matched up against Ryan Anderson. Ryan Anderson was going to have a hard, he was going to have a hard time guarding Julius Randle just the way that Julius Randle plays.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. I mean, normally you're going to have people, have monster nights against Houston that normally just, that just wouldn't happen.
True that.
I mean, the thing is, it's not like D'Antoni's going to make a change and say, oh, Ryan, we need to get someone. We need to get someone defensive oriented in there. D'Antoni doesn't think like that.
Holla.
All right. So other than that, the other game with a monster over under, it's a 220 over under, is Golden State at New Orleans. Now, we all know Golden State got blown out by 30 points, basically by San Antonio. This game, I'm worried that it's going to go the other way. Golden State's going to be furious. They are a 9.5-point favorite, so Vegas thinks it's has the potential to be a blowout. So while there's guys I want to target in this game, you got to be a little careful. It's a little bit risky if a blowout does happen.
I think that's possible, but it's also possible Golden State just doesn't have it all figured out yet as a team. So Golden State might come out and they might be hitting their shots and looking awesome, but they might struggle to kind of piece it together in certain respects, figuring out the whole Zaza Pachulia thing. I don't want to doubt Anthony Davis after the other night is I guess one thing I want to say too is maybe Anthony Davis can keep this close here against Golden State.
Yep. I mean, the best part about AD in his first game when he put up basically 100 FanDuel points was the number of shots he took. I mean, he was just gunning the ball. Last year it'd be frustrating because, I mean, there'd be like whole quarters would go by where he wouldn't take a shot and he wouldn't get the ball. So that was really cool to see. I liked how Tim Frazier seemed to be giving him the ball a lot. Remember, they're without Drew Holiday, without Tyreek. So it's basically anytime he wants to shoot, he has that ability. So
are there any over unders from Friday's slate that you say, you know what, the over like might lead to some extra value here? Like I look at the Utah and the Laker game, they got just a 201.5 over under for that, but Los Angeles is going to play at this faster speed. Utah with George Hill, they're leading the charge right now. It seems like they're going faster with Gordon Hayward being out. I see the potential for more points to be scored there and for that game to be potentially closer than what it is.
Yeah. I think as me and you kind of discussed pre-show, I mean, early in the season, especially the first week or so, Vegas is still trying to figure things out as well. So yeah. I'm sure no one's really sure what to make of either of these two teams, right? I mean, like you said, Utah did look a little faster with George Hill running the paint, but ultimately so they still have Gobert and Favors. I don't know if is Favors playing tomorrow. I don't know if he's a maybe.
He's questionable maybe, right now. He's going to go through shoot around and then he'll determine whether or not he's going to play or not.
So I would think if Favors plays, that slows down the pace a bit. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think I would not be surprised one bit if this has an over under of like 208, 210.
And they've got a over-under of 198 on the Charlotte at Miami game. And Miami's playing at a faster pace this season with Goran Dragic, too. So thinking that might be sped up. Also with MKG there, you talked about that pre-recording, kind of talking about how he was just looking really good in Charlotte's first game. And it seemed like that maybe helped speed up the pace a little bit, too.
Yeah, MKG was a guy. And I forgot how many lineups I had a couple nights ago. But I didn't play him at all. Like, I was shocked how good he looked. I remember seeing a video a couple days ago of, like, how he changed his entire jump shot. I think you might have tweeted it out.
He's like, still got a messed up jump shot.
It's still messed up, but he totally changed it. It does look a little better. Because before, he had one of the ugliest jumpers in the league.
It's still the ugliest jumper in the league, though.
Maybe. I thought it looks a little better. But just in general, he looked fantastic. I mean, obviously, you know, his game is attacking the hoop. But he looked great. And I think – so I think he caught me – I know he caught me off guard. And he caught a lot of the DFS world off guard. I forgot how many FanDuel points he had, but I think he had like 40-something, quite honestly. I'm trying to look real quick. Yeah, he had 44 FanDuel points. 35 minutes, 23 points, 14 rebounds, which is amazing. So, yeah, so I'm with you. I think that game, you know, with Kemba, you know, and MKG, remember Big Al Jefferson's not there anymore. Miami has Dragic, so I agree with you that 198 over under, which is the lowest on the total on the board tomorrow. I think that could be a little bit too low for them.
Absolutely. Anything else you see from the schedule that we can discern from the over unders or the spreads?
No, the only thing I guess we should touch on, just because we talked about this pre-show too, we had a very nice pre-show discussion, is the Indiana-Brooklyn game. On the surface, this looks like a fantastic game. It's a 214.5 over-under. I mean, anything over 210 is basically a game that screams for you to target players from that game. So there's some guys from Indiana, and Indiana's a 6.5-point favorite. So one, you know, you could say, well, that's a little surprising. You might have thought Indiana is going to be a little, you know, favored by a couple more points than that. But Vegas thinks it's going to be a close game. The concerning here, the concerning thing for Brooklyn is that it looks like that rotation is going to be a mess for reasons that I do not understand. Maybe you can shed light on it. The whole entire team's going to be on like a minute restrictions.
Yeah, there was an article that came out in the New York Post by Brian Lewis, and the quotes from Kenny Atkins in it are just weird. He says that our whole roster has a minutes limit, essentially. So they're bringing along their roster on all these like personally designed minutes limits plans. And we saw Brooke Lopez play lower minutes. The Nets are playing this kind of motion offense, you know, a lot of passing, not necessarily any ball dominance. So the idea of using a Brooke Lopez who's traditionally been give him the ball, get out of the way, let him create his own shot kind of thing. Now they're asking Brooke Lopez to be out on the perimeter lot, go stand in the corner, you know, take your shots when they come to you, make a play, make a pass. Like that's not really Brooke Lopez's game. So he doesn't fit well with what Brooklyn's trying to do right now. And they're having other guys like Justin Hamilton and Joe Harris step up off the bench and play really well. And Luis Scola too. So, and we even saw in the second half of the Nets last game, they started Luis Scola for the second half against Boston just because Atkinson said he liked the matchup better. I mean, they benched Brooke Lopez in the first game of the season at the halftime. Like, this is concerning.
Yeah, I mean, look, so they played 10 guys at least 18 minutes, and no one got above 27 minutes. I'm just going to read you the minutes played, and I'm not even going to name the player because it's basically irrelevant. 23, 24, 21, 23, 27, 25, 21, 18, 25, 22. I mean, that basically means no one's getting, you know, above 27 minutes. It's just a nightmare for DFS purposes. I'm staying away from almost anyone from Brooklyn unless I get someone like really cheap who I think, you know, can take advantage of you know, and hit value in limited minutes. It's just not worth it for me. And especially do not play any Brooklyn guys in cash games. You just can't do it right now.
Well, I mean, you know, there's some guys who are coming at such a value that you might throw them. You're right. You might throw them into your tournament though and right. Say like, okay, you're so cheap that if you blow up, this is going to be awesome. So right. Yeah, I'll give it a try, but it's pretty much only a tournament thing because you just can't trust the floor or the ceiling on these guys right now, really.
Yep. Agree. But there are some guys from Indiana in that game you should target. If you know, if a game has an over under of 214.5, which is the third best over under tomorrow, you definitely should pay attention to that game a little bit, at least for Indiana. So
holla, holla.
All right, let's move into the top plays at each position, my man. Let's start with point guard. Point guard is always – it's always going to be lots of options, and tomorrow or Friday night is no different. Let's start out – Westbrook is the highest-priced guy. He's 12K. I think that's reasonably priced. Like, he did not look that good in the season opener against Philly, and he still basically had a triple-double, and he had 58 FanDuel points. So they play Phoenix on Friday. A really nice matchup. I mean, you know, there was a time when everyone thought Bledsoe was like one of the best perimeter defenders. I don't think that's the case anymore. I think Westbrook, is probably going to hit value. I think he's a fine play in cash games, you know, and a good play in tournaments as well.
Yeah, and there's not really a lot of rim protection on that Phoenix team either. So Westbrook going to the rack should be a buffet, should be a feast for him.
Both. You can say both. You can say a fiesta and a feast. I'm with you. The next guy, and I'm telling you, I think this is about the cheapest we're going to be able to get this guy all year. And like, so Steph Curry right now is 9K. I think he's eventually going to be around, I'd say he'll probably hover around like 9.8 to 10K as the season progresses. He did not look that great in Golden State's opener. I think, you know, as you mentioned a couple minutes ago, it might take Golden State, you know, a few minutes or a few games to mesh. But if you can get Steph Curry for 9K, like I'll be rolling him out in a lot of tournaments because the upside is obviously there. And they're playing at New Orleans. Tim Frazier, not a terrific defender. You guys do have to worry about the potential blowout a little bit. But, you know, I'm not sure if I'm going to play Curry for cash games, but I definitely will be using him in tournaments a lot.
I'm gonna throw this out there. Everybody's talking like kind of doom and gloom about Golden State from a certain perspective, given the fact that they lost their first game and lost it by 29 points. But they did lose to San Antonio, a team who was historically good last year for their, just in the NBA in general. And
they had 67 wins last year.
Right. You know, a record for the Spurs.
Yeah.
For the Spurs, that was a regular season record. Like, that's insane. The Spurs have had so many like historically good teams, and that was the regular season win record winning team.
And I'll say like that was probably the best regular season game Kawhi's ever played.
It was amazing.
I mean, he was an alien out there. I mean, he single-handedly just destroyed them. So
and Jonathan Simmons wasn't just going out there and putting up stats. He was playing really well.
Right. Yeah. I mean, basically. Like if before the game, if you could have said like, what has to happen for Golden State to lose? Like basically San Antonio did everything. I mean, they couldn't have played a better game.
Yep.
So yeah, no, I'm with you. There's no reason to be doom and gloom. I mean, that will not happen again. They will not lose at home by 29 points again.
So yeah. So from that perspective, getting Steph Curry, a guy who can go out there and drop 50 FanDuel points easily on a given night, you know? Yeah, yep. I think getting him at that 9,300 is good.
Yep, and another guy who I still think is priced too low, that's Kyrie. He's 7.5K. I think he was 7.1K on opening night. I think he had about 28, 29 actual points. They're playing at Toronto. So this is kind of, you know, you have two of the best teams in the Eastern Conference hooking up. I think he's going to be motivated. I think he's going to have a really good regular season. At 7.5K, that's still – I think he'll be around an 8K player. So – he's priced a little bit too low too, so I want to use him in tournaments as well.
Yeah, and I think Kyle Lowry's a good play too at 7.7K from that game.
Yep.
In three games against Cleveland last season, Kyle Lowry played 38 minutes a game. He averaged 31 points, 4 rebounds, 8.3 assists, 3.3 steals, 2.3 three-pointers made. Just putting up ridiculous stats against Cleveland last year. So, you know, Kyrie Irving's never been – let's face it, the Cleveland Cavaliers don't have the most staunch defensive backcourt in the world, so Kyle Lowry should be able to eat.
Yeah, no, I mean, there was talk. I remember talk even like late in the regular season last year saying that the Cavs were better, you know, with Dellavedova on the court just because he was so much of a better defensive player than Kyrie, which obviously was, you know, ridiculous, but still.
Right, yeah.
I mean, yeah, Kyrie, you know, he struggled for large portions last year on the defensive end. So I'm with you. I really like Lowry at 7.7K.
Yeah, I think Lowry's like, if you don't want to say you're spending money elsewhere, but you have enough left over to get like a one tier below the elite guard point guards, and you, like 7.7K, it just seems like a good buying point for him.
Yep, no, I'm with you. So after those guys, then we kind of go down to the mid tier range, and there's some really solid point guards in the mid tier range. I'm probably in cash games, I'm probably going to spend up maybe on, I guess, on Russell. And then I'm going to use one of these mid-price guys. I mean, Tim Frazier, 5.3K. I gobbled him up in season long leagues. I used a ton of him in DFS on opening night. You know, until Drew Holiday gets back, he's going to put up nice stats. In his opening game, he had 37 minutes, 40.5 FanDuel points, 15 points, 5 rebounds, 11 assists, 2 steals. I mean, that's a beautiful line.
Yeah, no, and if granted, you don't even need, you know, with him having just a $5,300 salary, you don't need that kind of production out of Tim Frazier, and that's he's capable of duplicating that or even doing better. He's one of those weird small guards who can rebound like a monster. So, you love it, and you love that he's going to be playing in a very fast paced game against Golden State too.
Yep, another guy who I really like tomorrow, and that's George Hill. Now, I didn't use much of George Hill in Utah's opener at all. I was not overly excited, you know, about his chances to have a breakout year. But first of all, Utah is playing the Lakers tomorrow. So ding, 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 ding. That's fantastic. Second of all, his price is reasonable, 6.1K. And the other thing that really – probably the best thing from the opening night was just the minutes. He got 39 minutes opening night. He had 35.4 FanDuel points, 19 actual points. I think it was 2 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals and a block, something like that. So that's a really nice line. Any point guard against the Lakers is always going to be a good play. So he is a very safe floor for me. I'm not sure how high the ceiling is, but I love the floor. I think he's a nice safe play tomorrow or Friday.
Yeah, I agree on everything you said. And you are a little bit – you don't really think he's going to get 39 minutes again, George Hill, because Dante Exum only played a few minutes in the first game. And I think watching that game, I think it's because Exum passed up an open 3-point shot at one time, and I'm pretty sure that got him yanked, because what really made Exum stand out in the preseason was he was a more aggressive player, and then he gets into the regular season and just like, you know, falls back into bad habits of not being an aggressive offensive player. But I definitely think the minutes could come down for George Hill, but at 6.1K, it feels like a safe play. Probably I mean, would you say he's more of a cash game or a tournament?
You know, I was just about to say cash game, and then I looked at the spread. It's 8.5. Utah's an 8.5-point favorite over the Lakers. Like, I know everyone's all giddy because the Lakers actually won on opening night against Houston, but I still ultimately think the Lakers are not a good team. So the blowout potential worries me a little bit here. But I still think if I had to use George Hill, I'd probably use him in cash games and not tournaments, because I just don't know what's the upside, right? So if George – like, what I think what he did on opening night, that's about probably the best you can hope for. And that was about 30 – you know, that was 35 FanDuel points. So
I think you kind of defined what it means to be a good cash game player. It's have a high floor.
Right.
And that's what you said George Hill is. You're like, I like his floor. I'm not sure about his ceiling.
Right. So I think I'd use him maybe for cash. Maybe if you want to use him in one or two tournaments, maybe, but I wouldn't go crazy. I just don't think he has the potential to give you 40, 50 FanDuel points.
Right. And if Derek Favors is playing too, it could be less touches for George
right.
Hill as well.
That's actually a really good point by you. If Derek Favors is back, that makes me a little down on George Hill. And then I'm not sure if I'd use him in cash games.
Right. There's too many other options where it's right. now you've probably checked off too many boxes where I'm saying, you know what, I like George Hill and he's a maybe. If I'm filling out my lineup and I've got one more point guard slot I need to fill and I've got 6.1K left, boom, he's my boy.
Yeah, and not to mention, I think he's going to be over-owned tomorrow because he did play so well opening night. I mean, one of the things that I tell everyone, you know, I mean, people, you know, it's pretty, you know, sometimes it's just pretty logical, you know, what people do in DFS. If, you know, if someone had a really good day on Monday, they're going to play that guy on Tuesday. So Anthony, like, you know, think of the guys who did well on opening night. Anthony Davis, he's going to be super, you know, crazy owned tomorrow. You know, guys like MKG, you know, he's another guy. He's going to be really high owned. So it's the guys, like in tournaments, the guys who did really well and I think are going to be really high owned, like I have no issue with fading them in tournaments. Now in cash games, don't get crazy. If someone had a really good game and has a really nice matchup the next day, I still play that guy. But in tournaments, I have no issue fading a guy just because you know he's going to be really high owned.
Right. Don't chase points. Don't
exactly.
Just because somebody played good last night does not mean they're going to play good tonight. In fact, it's a logical fallacy.
Yep. And it goes the other way too. If someone struggled, you know, one night, I love playing that guy the next night. I love it. As long as he's a good player, obviously. So moving on, point guard. Next up, this is an interesting guy. I'm interested to get your thoughts on this guy because I like the price. Alfred Payton, 5.9K. Like the thing that I like most about Orlando, can you hear me?
Yeah, no, we were both trying to talk at the same time, and made like a beatbox thing go on. Oh, nice. It was dope.
I like the beatbox. Real quickly, I'll say the thing I like most about Orlando, it seems right now that Vogel is going to give all their big guys, you know, all their other starters kind of big minutes. So Peyton seems locked into a lot of minutes. And at 5.9K, it seems like a nice play tomorrow. What are your thoughts?
Peyton, it seems like a good matchup against Detroit. Because even though Detroit has Andre Drummond, who people think of as this like shot blocker, this center, this defensive center, he's not really. Like Drummond's not, he's not the presence if you don't watch the Pistons a lot, you wouldn't necessarily probably understand it because you just see the highlights. But if you watch the Pistons a lot, Drummond still doesn't command the paint the way that like a Tyson Chandler on the Dallas Mavericks did when they were winning that championship kind of thing.
So like, it's weird to me though, right? So do you think he's just never going to be that type of player? Cause now he's been in the league. What? This is fourth year.
I mean, I think it's just a balance and he's still just like 23 years old and it's a balance of developing your offensive game. He's still the best rebounder in the league. Like even if he's not necessarily the greatest or most demonstrative defender in the paint as far as protecting the rim, he's still a big body down there who's adequate at it, and then he still rebounds super well, so at least you're not getting second possessions for teams. But anyways, Elfrid Payton is what we're trying to talk about. So Payton, last year, played two games against Detroit, played 33 minutes, put up 18.5 points, 6 rebounds, 7.5 assists, 1.5 steals, 0.5 blocks. It's the same Detroit team that he'll be playing against. So, and then the matchup against Ish Smith, who's a smaller guard, it just seems like a good situation for Payton at a decent price where he could put up a potentially pretty good line, especially if he's getting a ton of minutes like he did in the Magic's first game when he played 37 minutes.
All right, I'm with you. Two more guys talk about a point guard. Next guy, a guy I know both of me and you really like a lot for the season, that's D'Angelo Russell, 6.4K. I think he played pretty well against Houston in the opener in that, you know, fantastic over-under game with an over-under of like 280. So Utah, a little tougher matchup here. He's not going up against Houston. So what are your thoughts here?
That's true, but we also saw – I don't want to make too much of a comparison, but we saw Damian Lillard score a buttload of points against Utah.
Yeah, he went nuts.
You know, another score for his guard. With that said, there was like three different takes to the rack that Lillard had against Rudy Gobert where you're just like, yeah, nobody else could do that. And so I mean, I guess to not take too much away from what Damian Lillard did, which was amazing the other night. It's 6,400, and I think the upside is there with Russell that he'll play more minutes, and you know what, shooting well plays good against even the best defense.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm going to use Russell in cash games tomorrow. I think I need to see a little bit more before I'm going to be convinced. That 6.4K, I mean, that's not super cheap. So I'll definitely have some exposure in tournaments, but I'm not going to use him in cash games yet. But I still think, you know, he does have the potential. He does have the upside to have a really nice game.
For sure.
And the last guy, a very intriguing punt option here, if you want to go cheap tomorrow at point guard, which I'm probably not going to do for the most part. But I might throw this guy in a couple lineups, though, and that's Tyler Johnson. This kid is really talented. I followed Miami. I watched every one of their games the last couple of years. I didn't even know he was going to play in the opener, quite honestly. So that's my bad. I mean, he was coming off an injury, right?
He had shoulder injury last year.
I'm thinking of Josh Richardson. So that's my bad.
Yeah, no.
So yeah, so Tyler Johnson, he's 4.6K. He played 28 minutes in the opener and put up 30 FanDuel points. So that's hitting, you know, what is that? That's almost six times value. So that's nice production. I think he's going to get about 25 at least minutes a night for that Miami squad. So I think if you're telling me he's going to get 25 minutes a night at 4.6K, he becomes an intriguing guy.
Yeah, if you need somebody cheap to put into your roster, I think Tyler Johnson's worth consideration at 4.6K because Josh Richardson's going to be out again Friday, and Johnson should get a fair amount of run off the bench again. So
I'm surprised he's listed as a point guard on FanDuel. I mean, he seems more of a shooting guard to me, but I guess that can happen.
Well, you know, it's playing on that Miami Heat last year with Dragic, Wade, Josh Richardson. There's just so many other guys handling the ball, but they've tried to develop Tyler Johnson into a backup point guard. That's the main role he's going to play this year. He'll also get minutes at shooting guard though as well.
Yep. All right, let's move on to shooting guard. Speaking of shooting guard. So, all right, let's not get crazy, guys. Right now, go to your DFS lineups, put in James Harden, get him in all your cash games, and move on. 11.3K. I think until James Harden is like well over 12K, I think he has to be in your cash games. I just don't think you can fade that guy when you're talking about over-under of 220. I mean, you saw how D'Antoni is going to use him opening night against the Lakers. He had 34 points and 17 assists. I think he had 14 assists in the first half. He scored 64 FanDuel points opening night. Now, obviously, every team's not going to be as bad as the Lakers, but still, I mean, his usage rate and how much he's going to handle the ball for that Houston offense, it's just going to be too good to pass up. I can't believe that his price didn't go up that much. I think his price only went up $200. So I want James Harden in my cash games, and I'm going to use him in tournaments too.
There's just 64 FanDuel points. He's still got a price tag of $11,300. It's a good buy right now. It's a good buy, and he's playing against Dallas. If they try to guard him with Deron Williams, good luck. Wesley Matthews would have a better chance of guarding Harden, but if you watch that first game, there's easy assist to be found with that Capella connection, and Harden's just, he's in charge of that offense, man. It's awesome. He's getting easy assists because he's just passing out to guys on the perimeter, whether it's Eric Gordon or Ryan Anderson, and they're getting buckets. And then everybody else on that team is pretty capable as well, as far as just the guys that they can put out to spread out on the perimeter, and Harden gets so much attention that he gets those guys open shots. There's no reason not to put Harden in your lineup on Friday.
Yep, I'm with you. The second shooting guard spot gets a little bit trickier. I'm still not sure who's going to be locked into my second spot in cash games. A couple of the guys we can talk about though. This guy will not be in my cash games, but I will play him in tournaments, and that's Victor Oladipo. Now he struggled. He played horrendous opening night for OKC at Philly. On Friday they're at Phoenix, but I think he's due for a bounce back. His price is a little, I wish it was a little bit lower. It's 7K. Opening night again, he struggled. So he had only 10 actual points, only 16.5 FanDuel points. So that if you played him, a couple days ago, you probably were pretty upset with him. But like, I will definitely be using some of him tomorrow on Friday.
So you're gonna go contrarian then with Philadelphia,
yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because I'm still scared.
Make no mistake, I'm scared too. But I think the upside's there. I think it's going to take some time for him to mesh with Westbrook, but he's going to be low owned, and he does have the upside. So I'm going to use him in tournaments only. I'm not going to use a ton of him, but I will use a little. I will use a little Depot tomorrow.
I'll just say that I think the price is like, I don't think it's begging to be used. You know, I feel they should. Well, it's probably right. The FanDuel's probably being right in keeping Oladipo at 7,400 because that's probably close to what his actual value is going to end up being. But it's really scary after seeing him just play just 26 minutes in the first game.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a riskier play. Another, I don't know, I guess not as risky as Depot. Another guy, though, who I like tomorrow, and that's, or on Friday, and that's Devin Booker. He's 6.1K. You know, these two will be matched up against each other. He'll be guarding Depot and vice versa. So at OKC, I thought he had a horrendous game opening night. And then I looked at the box score, and he still had 18 actual points. Now, the problem with him is he did, like, nothing else. So he only had 21 FanDuel points total. So he didn't come close to hitting value.
But that was also in just 24 minutes.
Right, exactly. So, like, I think he's a much safer play than Depot tomorrow. Phoenix needs him to score, and I'm definitely going to be using him in some tournaments tomorrow.
Yeah, I would consider throwing Booker into some lineups, but like you said, there is a little bit of risk with it.
Yeah. One guy who made prize, probably he might be one of the safer guys to use tomorrow, and that's Rodney Hood. 5.7K, so a little bit cheaper than Depot and Booker. Fantastic matchup versus the Lakers. And Hood just played, he balled out of his mind opening night. He had 38 minutes, 26 points, 36 actual points. I think he's a very safe play, and he does have some upside too. So Rodney Hood, he's a guy that I will consider for cash games, and I will use in tournaments as well tomorrow.
Yeah, I think Hood's one of the best plays that you can get at shooting guard.
Yeah.
With as long as Gordon Hayward's still out, especially if Derek Favors is out, you love that play at 5.7K versus the Lakers. Hood can be a streaky shooter, and that's where a lot of his value does come from, though. So if his shot's not falling, it's just hard to imagine him not getting enough shots, as long as, especially if Favors is out. If Favors is playing, maybe things change a little bit, but Hood's still going to be probably the primary offensive option on that team as long as Hayward is out.
Yep. I'm trying to see. All right. Sticking in right around that price range, I wasn't going to mention this guy, but I guess we should. That's Klay Thompson. I think he's 6.1K. So you right now, you can get all these Golden State guys super cheap. You know, Klay didn't play well opening night either. Just you have any quick thoughts on Klay? I'm not going to use him in cash. But
I just think he's at 6,100. I think he's a good contrarian play.
Yeah.
Against the Pelicans.
Yep.
More than anything, if it's Etuan Moore is a good player, but he's not going to be able to stick. Who's going to be able to stick with Klay? I don't see anybody on that team really giving him too much problems.
No, I'm with you. I wasn't going to mention him, but then I thought we better, just in case. So another guy. You know, another guy who I think is really safe for Friday, and that's Evan Fournier. He's 5.8K. You know, these Orlando guys, you know, they're playing big minutes. So he played 39 minutes opening night. He had 34 FanDuel points. You know, I think he's going to hit value, and he's got a little bit of upside too. So I think, if you want to play Fournier tomorrow, I think that's a solid play as well.
Yeah, and I know some people would be like, well, isn't Kentavious Caldwell-Pope a really good defensive guard? And Kentavious Caldwell-Pope can be very good defensively, but this Detroit team is kind of in flux right now. They're trying to figure out how to play without Reggie Jackson, and it's been ugly. So I wouldn't be surprised if Orlando kind of puts the sticks to Detroit. Sorry, I kind of let that linger in, but I'm not afraid of KCP on Friday. I think Fournier's in a really good position.
No, I was just thinking which guy to talk about next. I can't believe we're talking about like 10 shooting guards. I was like, what am I doing? But there's so many other guys that I feel like we need to bring up.
Well, you didn't mention that Nick Young at 3.5K. I mean, that is somewhat interesting.
I know. I was gonna bring him up. Like, I cannot believe that he's like. Did you have any idea he was gonna start?
Like, no, nobody did. Nobody did.
I mean, like, I remember, I every day I'd read one of the beat writers for the Lakers would tweet out something saying how Luke Walton says Nick Young is their best perimeter defender, but I thought he's just completely, full of crap. But apparently Nick Young is going to play some serious minutes for the Lakers. I mean, he started and he played 27 minutes. He didn't shoot well, but he had 15 FanDuel points. You know, like you said, his price is he's priced at the bare minimum right now on FanDuel at 3.5K. So, hey, you don't need for him to do much to hit value. I mean, he hits like 3 or 4 3-pointers and grabs a rebound. He basically hits value. So I can't knock it. If you want to play him, especially in some tournaments, go ahead.
Yeah, I would probably say he's like you throw him into a tournament and just like, it's like sticking your head between your legs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's basically like a lesser version of J.R. Smith, who's another guy. It's kind of a similar thing. J.R. Smith's only 4.4K. Which I think is a little too cheap. So if you want to play some J.R. Smith tomorrow in a tournament or two, go ahead. I mean, they're very similar players. I mean, you got to just pray they get hot and make some threes. The last guy let's talk about is that's Jordan Clarkson. I thought he looked pretty good opening night against Houston, 25 minutes, only played 25 minutes. But, that might be what he plays, just going forward this season.
I don't want to get too much into looking into one game rotation. You can definitely try to discern stuff, but Jordan Clarkson's not, there's no way in hell on that Lakers team that he ends up playing 25 minutes per game, the whole season. Yeah. I don't see it happening.
I mean, the thing is, though, even if he does, like, his usage rate is so high where he's still a, you know, a decent play. So even in those 25 minutes, he put up 32 FanDuel points. Now, again, yep, we should use the caveat that was against Houston, so that's a little bit of an outlier. But I think if you want to use Jordan Clarkson tomorrow and on Friday's night, on Friday night slate, you know, you could do a lot worse. So I think he's in play as well.
Holla, holla.
All right, let's go to small forward. Small forward's loaded. I think I may just use two. Wow. Yeah, I'm not sure what the hell I'm going to do, quite honestly. There's just lots of good options. The top guys, you got LeBron, 9.9K, Durant, 9.3K, and Paul George, 9.2K. I'm not sure how much there is to say about those three, but, you know, between those three, if you had to pick one for tomorrow, is there one that you'd prefer?
Sugar Plums.
Putting you on the spot, man.
No, it's just part of me wants to buy into the idea that Golden State's going to go out and destroy everybody and that everybody on Golden State's going to do well. But there's another part of me that says LeBron is going to throw up another triple-double for us. I just – they're all so priced closely, and I'm just – I'm not seeing – I think if I had to pick one out of the three, I'd pick LeBron.
Yeah, I mean, I think
Paul George is nice because of the Brooklyn matchup, but I don't know, man. I guess I just look at LeBron and say I feel like he's gonna get his value against Toronto, and he's gonna play a lot of minutes against Toronto because it's not gonna be a blowout.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think if I had to choose one just for cash games, you know, just for safety purposes, I'd probably pick LeBron. In tournaments, you know, I'd probably go. I use a lot of Durant and Paul George. You know, I mean, Durant, he looked in the opener. He probably played the best of all the Golden State guys. I think he had like 28 points and 10 rebounds. So, you know, all three of those guys are, you know, obviously any night they're going to be decent options. But I think I'm with you. If I had to use one for a cash game, I'd probably go LeBron. After those three, though, then you got some interesting, you know, mid-range guys. I mean, I think we talked about at the top of the show, MKG kind of came out of nowhere in the opener. He's 5.6K at Miami. Tough matchup against Justice Winslow. But opening night, you know, at Milwaukee, he had 35 minutes, 23 points, 14 rebounds, and 44 FanDuel points. Now,
I'm going to stop you really quick.
Okay.
I would totally pick Durant over LeBron or Paul George.
Okay.
Sorry. Going back on that.
What made you change your mind?
I mean, in tournament, Kevin Durant, I feel like there's even higher potential than what LeBron would give you. That's the main thing.
Okay. Well, in cash games too, would you go Durant or just tournaments?
Probably just tournaments. I'd probably take LeBron in my cash games just because I think that the fact that they're playing Toronto does make LeBron's floor better than what Durant's is. Because what if Durant feels bad about being the only guy who really played well in the last game? Then he tries to be a good teammate, and then it all just goes to crap.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. To figure out which Golden State guy is going to go off each night, it's going to be hard to, you know, to play them in cash games until we kind of see how it all plays out. But I'm with you. I mean, obviously the upside's always there for Durant. So he's a good, fantastic tournament play.
Word up.
So MKG. Yeah. So I don't think he's going to repeat what he did opening night. Also, he's going to be really high owned. So I'm probably going to fade him a lot in tournaments. And I don't know if I want to play him in cash games. I mean, can we trust him yet? I mean, it was one game.
No. You can't trust Michael Cade Gilchrist. He's interesting, and he looked really good, but
he's like a glorified Taj Gibson, right? He plays super hard, you know. But really, the offensive game is limited. I mean, he's got it. You know, it's just.
He looked really good taking it to the rack, but he made some very hard shots against Milwaukee. Offense isn't MKG's strong suit. The 14 rebounds, I can believe. The 23 points, that's harder to believe. We'll see, though. Maybe not having Jeremy Lin off the bench this year, they need more scoring from somewhere, and maybe that's what MKG's going to do. I don't want to completely doubt him because he did look really good, but as far as trusting him, I might put him into a tournament lineup, but I don't think I'll put him in any cash games.
Yeah, and remember, this game, this Charlotte-Miami game, does have the lowest over-under of the night as well. So I'm not going to go crazy, you know, with MKG tomorrow or on Friday. I'm going to use him. I'll probably throw him in a couple GPPs, but that's it. I that ownership, you know, he's going to be so, you know, so highly owned because of how well he played in that opener. Speaking of which, another guy kind of came out of nowhere in the opener, and that's 78-year-old Joe Johnson. He's 5.6K. I love the matchup versus the Lakers. I mean, at Portland, he played 31 minutes, had 29 actual points, 38 FanDuel points. Do you have any interest in playing Joe Johnson or no way?
He's one of those – I'm a little bit afraid to play him because we've seen him in the past go out and play big minutes on teams and not put up good per-minute production. But after that first game, if Derek Favors is out again, that's kind of the catalyst for a lot of the value with the Jazz, with the guys that we saw have good value in their first game of the season. Is if Derek Favors is out again, you kind of assume that you're going to see those guys try to hold the same roles they had in the first game and to be more demonstrative on offense. And 5,600 is a good price for Joe Johnson if you can expect him to go out there and get close to 40 FanDuel points, which is what he did last game.
Yep. Another guy that I got made fun of for recommending that for everyone to play, and that's Justice Winslow, 4.9K, you know, versus Charlotte. So he'll be matched up against MKG. Like, I love Justice Winslow. I draft him in lots of season-long leagues. And, you know, I liked him for DFS too because I know he's going to get tons of minutes. And that price just seemed a little bit too low. I mean, you know, He's a pretty similar player to MKG in that they're both really solid defenders and they're not great offensive players. But, you know, I do like Winslow. He's $700 cheaper than MKG. Opening night, he had, in 34 minutes, had 15 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, and 35 FanDuel points. So I really like Justice Winslow on Friday. I think he's got a nice, safe floor. Like, I don't know how great the upside is. You know, I may throw him in one or two tournaments just because that price is so low. But I think he's a pretty safe play at that price.
Yeah, I wonder if he'll get matched up, if Winslow will be matched up against MKG defensively. Well, if MKG maybe might kind of put the clamps on him then, and if that happens, I'm a little bit worried about Winslow getting the scoring that you need or otherwise to really make him valuable. But at 4,900, it's not much of a risk.
Yep, I would say the one reason why that wouldn't worry me too much. I mean, both MKG and Winslow, they get a lot of their buckets on, like, you know, fast breaks and you know, drives to the hoop. You know, they don't, you know, so it's really not breaking down one-on-one defenders. They don't really get a lot of their points that way. So, you know, and again, if Winslow, I don't need Winslow got, you know, he had 15 actual points opening night. If he can get me just like 10 actual points and put up an all-round line, you know, that he basically hit value. So I don't need him to do a whole lot at that price.
I feel you, and I agree. And you're definitely right about the way that they get their buckets.
Yeah. And the last guy, man, at shooting guard or small forward that we should probably mention if you want to punch a little bit. You know, one of the Brooklyn guys, I feel that this is probably the only one we're going to mention on the show, and that's Bojan Bogdanović. He played 23 minutes. He had 27 FanDuel points, 21 actual points. Which is basically, that's basically what he's going to do. I mean, he's not going to give you much else than actual scoring. You got to hope he plays and gets hot. He's 4.2K. He did start for Brooklyn. I think it was a late start. After lineup lock, we got the news he was going to start. So I was kind of mad because I think I played him in one lineup only. And he was the best Brooklyn player.
Kenny Atkinson is quickly finding ways to be hated by basketball fans because he's doing weird coach stuff. Like, Atkinson was asked several times, hey, who's going to start at shooting guard? Because Randy Foy is out. And he just wouldn't say. He would say, oh, it's probably going to be Joe Harris or Bogdanović. And then he was asked again after shoot around, and he said, well, I'm going to wait until I have to tell you guys. Like, the league mandated when the starting lineup has to be turned in, which when the starting lineup has to be turned in, league mandated, is to the scorer's table, I think 10 minutes before tip off. And even though coaches turn that in, they don't have to use that starting lineup. They can change it, you know, right away, or they can – it doesn't matter. They can change it right before the game. So that's frustrating that Kenny Atkinson's not going to be more forthcoming about that before games, because that might mean that when if the Nets are going to be not only rolling out a super deep rotation that has everybody playing 27 minutes or less, but if they're going to be changing the starting lineup all the time, and we saw them change the starting lineup at halftime in their first game, it could just be a quagmire you don't want to quag in.
Yeah, frustrating. I mean, like, it's like, what are you doing? I mean, it's not like you're holding the nuclear codes, right? I mean, like, and you're coaching the freaking Nets. You're gonna win 10 games all year. It's like, it's ridiculous. All right, want to move on to power forward?
Let's do it.
All right, so Anthony Davis, I mean, dear God, if you watched him play opening night, it was fantastic. He basically, I think he had 98 FanDuel points. I think that's got to be one of the top 10 of all time in terms of scoring FanDuel points. So, you know, I like the matchup. It's versus Golden State. You know, he's got a really nice height advantage against Draymond Green or whoever they try to put on him. Now, he's not going to – now, the problem with the fact that he played so well opening night, he's going to be really high-owned tomorrow. So that may lead me to fade him, you know, quite a bit in tournaments. But at 10.8K, he's still underpriced. So I think he's a good play on Friday.
Yeah, he scored 95.7 FanDuel points.
Yeah. Unreal. Next up, another one of the Golden State guys, Draymond Green. He's going to be angry. He's probably going to kick some people nuts on Friday. You know, Matt, he's got the tough matchup against AD. What are your thoughts here? I mean, I'm not going to use him in cash games, but I probably will use a little Draymond in some tournaments.
I just, 8,400, I think I'm going to be expensive. Looking elsewhere. Yeah,
it's expensive. Like, yep. I think eventually he'll settle into about 7.6K in about a few weeks from now.
I mean, you freaking love the game that he had against San Antonio, the 18-12-6-5-1. That's nuts.
Yep. No pun intended.
Really? No, there wasn't.
Yeah. So, all right, a guy that I really like tomorrow, he's probably going to be in my cash games, that's Kevin Love. 7.1K at Toronto. That's too cheap. I think eventually he's going to be about a 7.5 to 8K player. You know, LeBron's getting him a lot of open shots. He's going to play some decent minutes. So I think he's got a nice, safe floor. He's going to get, you know, he's going to get the touches. The minutes don't concern me. For some reason, the minutes, you know, he got benched a lot in fourth quarters last year. I just don't think that's going to happen this year that much. So I'm a big fan of Kevin Love tomorrow.
I do like that he'll be most likely matching up against Pascal Siakam, a rookie power forward, who if Kevin Love gets people in the post who – well, let's just say he does dirty stuff to people in the post.
I wish they'd let him do that more, you know?
Agreed. But then again, it's just not the way basketball's played these days, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Having one guy spend 6-7 seconds of the shot clock just kind of beating up on a guy in the post, it should be used more as a kind of a rest method, maybe, but I don't know, man. It's just not as exciting as everything else.
I mean, if you have a mismatch, though, then that was the one thing about watching the Bulls play today. Like, you have D. Wade. He's a fantastic post-up player. I mean, the Bulls posted him up one time in the game. I mean, it was just – anyway, it's just – and the same with Kevin Love. I mean, like, there'll be games where it'll be, like, one or two post-ups, if that.
It's sad. It's sad for people who love the post game. I'll agree. That's one of the good things about being a Pistons fan is I still get some of the post game sexiness out of Andre Drummond.
That is true. All right, the next guy, I don't know what to do with. Like normally, I didn't play this guy much last year. I don't want to play him on Friday, and that's Dirk. He's old. He's 7.1K, so he's not even cheap. But they're playing the Lakers, so fantastic matchup. I mean, like, I'm not playing him in cash games. But would you play Dirk at all on Friday? That's my thoughts. I'm just stumped. I don't know what to say about Dirk.
I would probably be going with Kevin Love over Dirk if I had to choose between the two. And I'm most likely just looking elsewhere. Like, part of me would want to take the upside on Ryan Anderson dropping like 7 3-pointers and having a hell of a game. I just feel like there's other options I'd rather go with than Dirk.
Yep, I'm with you. And I think Dirk's always overowned just because people, you know, just due to name recognition as well, which always annoys me. So, yeah, I'm not going to be using a ton of Dirk tomorrow. Maybe.
But, we're saying all this, but he is playing against Houston, and we talk a lot about, he's in that Houston game, you know.
Oh, wait, did I say Lakers? Yeah, they're playing Houston, right? Yeah. That's my bad. I think I said they're playing Lakers. You're right. They're playing Houston.
So which is the best from that perspective, right? Exactly. So, and then you start to think, well, can Ryan Anderson really guard Dirk? But they did play Dirk 38 minutes the other night. There's a lot to consider whenever you're talking about pretty much anybody on Dallas. But yeah, I mean, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because Dallas has the best matchup, you know, on Friday night, but that's like probably one team that confuses me the most at this point. I'm not sure who's going to score for them, who's going to get the most shots. I'm not sure what to do. I mean, I want to play those guys just because Houston's so bad. I'm definitely going to play some Harrison Barnes. I don't think we mentioned him.
I think I've talked myself into putting Dirk into a lineup or two.
Yeah. Oh, I'm definitely going to play Dirk in a couple lineups, but like, I'm not sure how much Dirk I want. I mean, it very well could just be like a 3-point contest between Dirk and Ryan Anderson tomorrow.
I'm just not sure how much Dirk I want.
Dude, don't.
That's what you just said.
I know. I said Dirk, by the way. Anyway.
What else are we talking about?
Let's move on. Another guy. I think this guy's going to be a cash game play for me on FanDuel tomorrow, and that's Serge Ibaka. Like, his price did go up. It went from 4.8K. Now it's 5.5K. And he didn't play great opening night. They're playing at Detroit. Not the best matchup in the world. You know, not the best over-under. But I still think at 5.5K, I still think he's basically Orlando's first or second option. And I think he's a nice, safe play for cash games.
I think the price is right for Serge at 5,500 still. But I don't know about that Detroit matchup, because if he's having to guard Tobias Harris all the time, I don't know. I'm just not sold on it.
Yeah, I'm sold. I mean, I think Ibaka's going to get 36 plus minutes. You know, again, we don't need much. We need, you know, 27 FanDuel points. You know, I think he should be able to do that. But yeah, I mean, I'm not sure how high the ceiling is, but I like the floor. So I'm going to be using me some Serge. Next guy up, a guy that I like, you know, he played okay opening night for Indiana. And that's Thaddeus Young. They're at Brooklyn, so I you know, a really nice matchup. 6K, I think it's a reasonable price. So Thad Young, you know, he's kind of similar to Ibaka, I think on Friday, in terms of they're both kind of safe, you know, maybe not too sexy plays, but they're relatively safe guys.
Is this a Thad Young revenge game against Brooklyn?
It is. That's right. He was on Brooklyn last year. It's a Thad Young revenge game as well.
Okay.
Another guy, let's see, if you want to go cheap at power forward, a couple options. One, a guy that I really like, and I hate Julius Fat Randall for some reason. I don't know why. I don't know why I just like him so much. I like Larry Nance Jr. a lot. He's only 3.9K, tough matchup at Utah, but you know, even in the opener, I think Larry Nance and Randall are basically going to be splitting minutes this year. I could be wrong, on that. But in the opener, you know, Nance got 23 minutes. He put up 18 FanDuel points. You know, he's very cheap. So I'm going to be using him in some tournaments tomorrow.
I could see doing that. I definitely like the matchup for Nance off the bench against Utah more than I do Julius Randle playing against whoever he has to play. Because I think Boris Diaw would even kind of D up Julius Randle in a crafty veteran way that would disrupt the 21-year-old's game a lot. Trey Lyles, I know he didn't get as much run as people would like in the first game, but Boris Diaw also struggled a lot. Trey Lyles is just 3,800 if Derek Favors is out. I think there's a good chance we might actually see Trey Lyles get put into the starting lineup over Boris Diaw. So something to consider and keep an eye on news-wise on Friday.
Yep, I'm with you. Yeah, I played Diaw and Lyles, both those guys. Disappointed opening night. Hopefully they can bounce back on Friday.
What about Terrence Jones at 4,000?
I mean,
here's the argument.
Go ahead.
With New Orleans playing against Golden State going smaller potentially, maybe Terrence Jones actually has a path to more minutes in that game than he did in the Pelicans' first game.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Like, I've just, like, this guy's let me down so many times, both in terms of production and in terms of minutes. It's just hard. It's hard to get overly excited for it. But yeah, I mean, I like
tournament play.
I'm
just looking at, you know, playing against Denver in their first game, Terrence Jones, it was going to be hard with Jokic, Nurkic getting a lot of run, with Fareed getting a lot of run. It was maybe going to be hard for Terrence Jones to get in there. But if Golden State's throwing out the Death Star lineup a lot with Draymond at center, then maybe Terrence Jones gets a lot more run on Friday.
Yeah. And you know, the price is fantastic at 4K. I mean, like, I think, yeah, if you want to throw him as a dart in some tournaments, absolutely.
Holla.
And he'll be super low owned. I mean, that's for sure. I mean, no one's going to be on him tomorrow. no, that's a good thing.
I know what you're saying it with like this air of positivity, but in saying it, you're essentially saying he's complete trash and
no, it's not what I'm. No, I'm just saying he's falling off everyone's
right.
radar.
Okay,
you know,
yeah.
I'm with you, man.
I know the way it came out. I was just enjoying taking it a little bit of a different way.
All right, let's move on to center. Center, man, center is a very intriguing position. I think it will be the whole season. Tomorrow's no different. The top guy on the board at center has got to be Whiteside. He looked fantastic in the opener in only 31 minutes, 18 points, 14 rebounds, 4 blocks, 43 FanDuel points. Real quickly, I'm trying to see what his price is because I don't have it down.
8,500.
How much?
8,500. 8.5K.
Okay, so I think that's a fair price. I think eventually he's going to be around the 9K probably mark. So I think it's a reasonable price. I think it's a fine play if you want to do it in cash, and he's a good tournament play as well.
Agreed. I think there's upside for his minutes to continue to grow as well.
Yep. Now, a guy I know it's your team, man. Your Pistons. A guy that I love for tournaments tomorrow, and that's because he looked so bad opening night. That's Andre Drummond, 7.8K. This is like the cheapest I can't remember him being this cheap ever. I don't remember what he was opening night. I think he was pretty cheap opening night too. But this is a really nice price. They're playing Orlando. I think Bismack's going to be back, so that's, you know, I wish it was only against Vucevic, but I still think, look, I mean, the price, I mean, his ownership should be nice and low. Opening night he struggled, 24 minutes only and 21 FanDuel points. So a lot of other people are going to be off him for tournaments. I will be on him in tournaments. I think he could have a big game here.
Yeah, I'm definitely concerned about the fact that Drummond only played 24 minutes in Detroit's first game, but he also had 5 personal fouls
right in
that time. So,
I mean, Drummond, he only had 6 rebounds. I mean, for him, that's impossible.
Right. Usually in 24 minutes, he has like 40.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a good situation, and I think it's a nice play because people are going to be scared from the last game, so they're not going to put him in as many lineups as he would be usually.
Yep. The next guy, Rudy Gobert. This, like, I just do not think he's a great DFS player. It's just maybe I'll be proven wrong this year, Like I'll play him in a cut. Like, you know, if I have 20 lineups tomorrow, I'll probably play Rudy in like two or three of them. Like 7K, I think that's a reasonable price. But like his game is just so defensive oriented. Now he does have a great matchup because Utah is playing. They're playing the Lakers, so the matchup's fantastic. But like I'm just not sure. Like, what's the upside there, right? Like, even if he has a fantastic game, how many FanDuel points is he really going to give me?
I think with Gobert,
am I wrong? I could be wrong.
Well, I mean, he gave you 33 FanDuel points in the first game,
right?
But he also played 41 minutes in that game,
right?
So is Derek Favors going to be out again? You can regularly get 35, 40 points out of Gobert. He puts up those games because he's such a staunch rebounder. You know, just because he's not doing it in the rebounds, he'll go out and get you so many doing it in the points. He'll go out and get you so many rebounds and have a 5 or 6 block night where, you know, he'll drop a 40 point FanDuel night for you. So that can definitely happen. But I feel like counting on him to get 35 on a given night, like the floor is significant enough that I'm afraid to spend too much on him. I'll say that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so, you know, I mean,
Los Angeles seems like a good matchup though.
I know. I want to use him. I want to play him. Like, I want to attack the Lakers, but like, I'm just not.
Favors is out, consider using Rudy Gobert. If he's not, maybe don't.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, the next guy, this guy, I know you love this guy. This guy, I mean, I'm a fan, but I wasn't that high in him. And he exploded opening night, and that's Miles Turner. He's 6.9K at Brooklyn. I mean, dear God, look at these numbers in the season opener. 30 actual points, 16 rebounds, 4 blocks, 2 steals, 61 FanDuel points. I mean, dear God. Like, I would never have guessed that. I think I had him in, like, one or two lineups. I didn't play him much at all, and that was my mistake. And now he's 6.9K. What are your thoughts? I mean, is this for real? I mean, obviously, we can't expect that. But, I mean, like, what are your thoughts going forward for this guy?
He's – if you go watch the game, like, his shot is smooth. He gets it off quick. He can hit it from just inside the arc with regularity. Even when he gets posted up, there's no panic in him. He had Wesley Matthews guarding him on one possession right at the foul line, and he literally just turned into face up against Wesley Matthews and just flicked his arms and just shot it over him. Like, sometimes you'll see a big man get a small guy on them and they panic and they don't know what to do. No, Miles Turner was just like, oh, okay, you're short, buckets. And that's the way he plays. It's confident. He's got tremendous athleticism to go up and get blocks. I think 6,900 is a relative. Like, that's still good value considering what we're seeing his potential to be right now. And what really stood out to me as being super important from the last game is that when they went into overtime, Paul George was looking for Miles Turner still. So when a player like Paul George, who kind of has been in the position to play hero ball there, is looking around the court and saying, I'm not looking for Jeff Teague. I'm not looking for Monte Ellis. I'm not looking for Thaddeus Young. I'm looking for that second year, 20-year-old. Where is he? Because he's going to hit this shot. And that's who he's looking for in overtime. That seems important to me because that means Miles Turner legitimately is most likely going to be that second option there for Indiana. So 6,900 seems good to me.
Yeah, all right. I mean, you may have sold me into using more of him than I thought. The one thing in tournaments, I'm not going to play a ton of him. It's just because I think that ownership is going to be so high due to the fact that he had such a fantastic opener. So that may lean me to go a different route
in tournaments. I do think, this may sound weird, but I do think that Brooklyn has more players to guard him better out there just inside the perimeter than what Dallas had. Because Dallas was sending Andrew Bogut at him. Dallas was sending Dirk at him a little bit. And those guys aren't necessarily fleet of foot.
Right.
And you've got this 20-year-old out there with really good athleticism who can just kind of move around better, get to open spots better. But if you go watch that last game, and if you go back and watch tape from last year too, like, this kid has the talent to be an all-world player, and it's looking like he has the talent to potentially be a first-round fantasy player eventually.
Yeah. And that is true, though, what you said about Dallas. I mean, I'm trying to think. Does any team have a slower, like, 4 and 5 man combined? If we did, like, a foot race, a 100-yard dash with, like, you know, power forwards and centers, Dallas would have to lose, right?
Andrew Bogut did throw down an alley-oop against
the Pacers. I saw that.
And it was – I was like, oh, damn.
I know. I'm from Wisconsin, so I remember when Bogut got drafted by the Bucks, and he was so athletic. Like, it's a shame how the injuries just took a toll on him.
Holla.
All right, so the next guy is the guy that I really like, and that's Jonas Valanciunas. I played a lot of him opening night. His price went up a little bit. Now it's $6K. He played 35 minutes, which is fantastic for him because normally he gets benched in the fourth quarter for no reason. But he played some fourth quarter minutes too. He had 35 minutes, 32 actual points, 11 rebounds, 46 FanDuel points. I think it's a nice matchup against the Cavs. The Cavs don't really have anyone to guard him. I mean, he's too big for Tristan Thompson. So, you know, I like Jonas here. I mean, you know, I'm not sure if I want to use him in cash games, but I think he's a safe play. I mean,
I'm usually like against Jonas Valanciunas because of the minutes limitations that we've seen Dwayne Casey put on him.
Yep.
And the last two seasons, Jonas has averaged 26 minutes per game each of the last two seasons. Then he comes out and he plays 35 minutes against Detroit. There's a part of me, though, that feels like Detroit kind of sowed their own demise by if Detroit just would have went with a small lineup and tried to punish the Raptors that way. We've seen Dwayne Casey in the past take Jonas Valanciunas out just because he wants to match up defensively. What I think happened against Detroit is Stan Van Gundy matched up against Toronto, and he kept putting in Aaron Baines and Boban when Drummond was out, and he always had a traditional center out there that gave Toronto the reason to keep Jonas Valanciunas out there. And I don't want to give Dwayne Casey credit for playing Valanciunas 35 minutes because I think it was more circumstantial.
After the show, I'm going to go look at last year's box scores and see how many times he played 35 minutes. Like, what do you think the over-under is? Like, it can't be more
three
than
times.
Like, yeah, I was going to say, it can't be more than five times.
And I don't even know if it was once.
I know. I mean, like, 35 minutes for him is crazy. So I might be with you. I don't. Maybe he's not a cash game play, but I will be using him in some tournaments because I do think he does have the upside.
I think $6,000 is just a terrific price for him because the upside is absolutely there for Valanciunas to put up a monster game. Absolutely.
Yep. All right. So the next three guys, we have three value centers to look at: Clint Capella, Steven Adams, and the aforementioned Tristan Thompson. Do you like either of these guys for Friday's action?
Steven Adams at 4,800. He's been scoring.
Yeah.
And if Steven Adams is going to be scoring, he only had like 5 rebounds in the last game, but he also played 36 minutes. There's too much to like there. 36 minutes, 16 points scoring, 3 steals. Like, that's not even usually – those aren't usually the stats that you get value from for Steven Adams. So for 4,700, I think it's really interesting. I like him. Clint Capella, they said that the Houston Rockets said they were going to do a 24-minute split between Capella and Nene at center. They ended up giving Capella 26 minutes and Nene 24, I believe. So, and we also saw with Nene get put in the game late for Houston, that kind of screwed things up. Capella was playing well. I just think Capella is going to continue to get more and more minutes because the connection there between Harden and Capella is going to be so useful for them as far as opening up the floor due to how much pressure it puts going to the rim that I'm going to be buying Capella a lot earlier this season, especially at 4,700.
Yep. I mean, I'm with you. Like, I think, like, Steven Adams, like, I might even use him in cash games on Friday. Like, I mean, because like I need Harden. I'm pretty sure I want Westbrook in my cash games, you know, and maybe I want another big guy, like, you know, another stud like LeBron. So I think Steven Adams at 4.8K, that's too low. I think eventually he's going to be about a 5.5, you know, to even close to 6K, especially if he's getting those big minutes. So I think Steven Adams for a cash game played on Friday is actually reasonable.
Yeah, and there's nobody in that Phoenix front court too that really offers any kind of worry or concern that they're going to stop Steven Adams from having a nice game either.
Yep, and then I think Capella's more, for at least right now, he's more of a GPP play. I need to see a little bit more Houston before I get super gung-ho on Capella, but I like him. I think he does have some upside for GPPs. Cool. All right, man. That is it. That's all, man. Whew, I feel like we mentioned a lot of players.
We did. I would say don't go buying Justin Hamilton at 4,800. That's if Justin Hamilton was a minimum salary play still after his big game the other night, I would be like cautious. But the fact that they're trying to get you to spend like $1,300 more than what he should be at, I don't like that. Bismack Biyombo at 5,000. I don't know if I'm going to do that in his first game because he's likely going to be coming off the bench. But what if we see that Biyombo starting?
I don't know. That still doesn't interest me.
Okay, that's fair. I love how much disdain and just disinterest was in your voice. Okay.
It wasn't right, disdain. I was in deep thought.
I feel you. All right, so we're done, right?
Yeah, we are done. That is it.
Cool. That is it, isn't it?
Yeah. That's it.
Oh shoot! You know what we forgot to do at the very beginning of the show?
What?
We forgot to do the no halftime thing.
No, we did it.
You did it?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Sorry for all this rambling that y'all just listened to because I'm not cutting it out of the podcast. We love you, though. I am Kyle McEwen. You can find me on Twitter at RotoKyleNBA. And this is...
I am Daniel Green. You can find me on Twitter at DanielAGreen1. Oh, let me say one last thing, Kyle. So I run these daily fantasy tournaments. It's called the Judges Chambers. If you guys want in, they're a lot of fun. Let me know. Send me a tweet, and hopefully I can get you in. Right now, we're only doing one tournament. It's only 20 people, but... demand's pretty high, so maybe I'll be running 2, 3, 4 tournaments in the days, weeks ahead. So if you guys want in, hopefully Kyle's going to play too. So it's a lot of fun. Get in there.
Straight up. All right, we love you guys. Check you later. Peace.